Here is a little trivia question. It's not really trivial at all, but it sounds like a strange question with which to begin a shiur. If you were asked to describe a Jew, to describe a Yid, what is the most fundamental quality that is required for being a Yid, apparently more than any other quality? What would be the answer? Well, if we listen to Parshas Re'eh, the answer is that a Yid is supposed to be handsome. And that seems to be the most basic quality which is required from a Yid. Now, have some patience with me, I'm not completely nuts, but that is what the Torah is saying. I'll tell you what I mean. If you take Parshas Re'eh, so the first part of Parshas Re'eh deals with, it's a really a continuation from the end of Ekev. You remember at the end of Ekev we learned the Parsha about Ki Yehoretz Ashatem Boim Nesham Loike Eretz Mitzrayim. Over here it's Eretz Horem Uvekoes Limtar Shomayim Tishlemoyim. It tells us about the specialness of Eretz Yisrael, and we learned the Ramban that the specialness of Eretz Yisrael is that you constantly have to be aware of the Ribbono Nishlam. You need rain, desperately you need rain. You have to look up to the heavens. Ribbono Nishlam, give us rain. So that's a relationship to the Ribbono Nishlam. And the first part of Parshas Re'eh seems to be a continuation of that, dealing mainly with Avodah Zorah and the destruction of Avodah Zorah and the destruction of the Ovdei Avodah Zorah and related topics. That is the first part of Re'eh and seems to be a description of how life ought to be lived in Eretz Yisrael. That you're going into this land which is different to Eretz Mitzrayim and which assumes a constant relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you should know that this constant relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam requires a merciless ke'ilu destruction of all remainders of Avodah Zorah in any form whatsoever. But when you get to about the middle of Re'eh, in chapters, it's the beginning of chapter 14, so we have a switch, and the rest of the Parsha from that onwards seems to not deal with the kind of life you're supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. But what is a Yid? And you get a lot of mitzvahs starting off with that issue. What is a Yid, and what does it start off with? With Bonim Atem LaShem Elokechem Loisis Goydudu. You're bonim of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so you shouldn't gash yourself, you shouldn't slash yourself if somebody dies, and as a mark of your avelus, don't cut yourself, don't slash yourself. So what does it have to do with bonim atem l'shem elokechem? Zog Rashi, lois is going to do, loisitnu gedido v'seret bivsachem almes, that if somebody dies and you're looking for an appropriate way of representing your tzar and your avelus, don't cut yourself. Kedero she'emorim osem. Why? Lefi she'atem bonim shel mokem, because you are children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vatem ruyen li yois noim, and you're supposed to be handsome, you're supposed to look nice. V'loy gedudim umukurachim, and you don't want to look, you ought not to look cut up and so on and so forth. That's not the way you want to look. If you're born in like the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have to be beautiful. Umukurachim, right, Rashi says. Don't be gedudim umukurachim. So, we've got over here the beginnings of the halachas which tell us how to be a good Jew, and later on we're going to have, let's say, Hashmotas Ksofim by Shmita, and so on and so on, the Macholas Asuros, like a lot of things which go into this issue. Vos is Ayit, what does he have to be careful for? not because he's living in Eretz Yisrael, but because he's a Yid. So the Torah tells us the first thing, Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokechem. And what is implied in Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokechem? That you're supposed to be Noim. V'atem Ru'uyin Li'yos Noim V'loi Gedudim U'mukurachem. So what was the answer to my question? If you want to touch up what is a Yid supposed to, what quality is central to being a Yid, what is central is that you are handsome. That's what it says. V'atem Ru'uyin Li'yos Noim. Now what does that mean? I mean, is that really so important that you have to look nice? I mean, it's nice if we look nice, but was it? Yeah, it's certainly not one one would have expected. So let me read a little bit of the Gu'aryeh. What it means. Avol nire, it says, ki o issa hu mipnei ki Yisrael heim metzius amiti. Klal Yisrael is existence in its most perfect form. If you have the Hartman, the Gurariya, it's a good idea to look at the Makoros over here. I'll read a little couple of words from him. Shenivru'u le'atzmam v'loy le'shamesh acherim u'kifi shekosu b'gvuros, and so on and so forth. So a Yid, that is ideal humanity. That's not in a serving capacity, that people need you, you have good heads so you can invent Mr. Salk's polio vaccine. That's not what a Yid is. And so polio vaccine is a wonderful thing, a big tiber for humanity as a whole, but that's not what a Yid is. A Yid is shenivru'u le'atzmam v'loy l'shamesh acherem. Das is a mensch. That's what it means, bonim atem l'shem elokechem. Again, aval nira ki o isahu mipnei ki Yisroel heim metzius amiti sh'arehem alulim min Hashem Yisborach v'nikroim b'shvil kach bonim. Why are they called bonim? Because they are what a human being coming ke'ilu ke'v'yochal from the hands of the Ribbono Shel'Olam is. Everything else is there to help him, to serve him, to be useful, whatever it is. Oh, but this is what the Ribbono Shel'Olam has in mind. When he created man, he had in mind Klal Yisrael. Right? It's not like the Brias HaUmas, Rach Shehem Tefelim Ele Umu HaNefcheres. V'akol Nivro B'Shvil Yisrael, Ki Ein HaBriyo Be'etzem Rak Li Yisrael, Ve'el Yisrael Nimshach HaKoel. Azo Eshtet En Maral. So, if we're going to talk about Mr. Human, and say who is the ideal form of humanity, Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokechem, and if you are Bonim, so then there seems to be the self-understood concept that such a person who is so self-justifying and is there because does is what the Ribbono Shel'Olam will, so that has to be noy, that has to be nice and not broken up and not cut and not slashed. It's interesting that it seems that things that which are very close to the Ribbono Shel'Olam, it seems to be self understood that it has to be beautiful, it has to be nice. I think a few weeks ago we talked about the idea of hakriveyo nol fechasecha, that mumim and imperfections in the korbanos are not the way they're supposed to be. So what's so important by the Ribbono Shel'Olam? What does he care whether it's like this or whether it's like that? The Teretz is weist ois, that is what beauty is. I mean, one could write a whole essay, I guess. What is beauty? What is beauty? So it seems from Chazal. Now I don't know whether that's really the pshat in the Chazal, but it sounds to me as though it is. L'moshel, right? Asoro kabin yoifei Yadu La'olam, that there are 10 kabim of beauty that came down to the world, and 9 of them Yerushalayim took. So Yerushalayim is the most beautiful city in the world. You have to know what is beauty that's meant and so on. Oh, well, there you have an association with beauty, wholeness, healthiness, niceness. Why? I would imagine. So what's that got to do, Dafka, with the kedusha? Hidu mitzvah, hisnoi lefon mitzvah. Oh, ze keli ve'anveihu. I never understood. I really never understood this whole idea, like that Beis Hamikdash. You have it in the Chumash, and you have it in Yecheskel, those last prokim in Yecheskel, exactly how it should be built, and constantly the Mephoshim say, space the things like that, put them like this, because that way it's more beautiful. What's so important in the beauty? Weist ois that beauty and sanctity go together. Teretz is, what does it taka mean? I think that it means that the closest we can get to imagining sanctity in a physical world, we have no shaykhus to sanctity in the sense that we can't touch it, we can't really experience it in a physical way. So the moshel in our world for what kedusha looks like, kaviyochel, is beauty. That when we see something beautiful, we stand on top of a mountain, and we see the beautiful view, and we get all teary-eyed and wow, shabba, wow, shabba, wow, isn't it beautiful? That is the moshel, weist ois, for kedusha. And that's why we have, for example, yeah, ze keli ve'anveihu. So we have the two pshatim. Ve'anveihu means either I will create a home for him, nove, and that's the Beis Hamikdash, and ze keli ve'anveihu hisnoi lefon of the mitzvahs. The teretz is that the Beis Hamikdash is here to be beautiful. That is what the function of the Beis Hamikdash is. Just like we learned just now that the basic underlying quality which defines the ideal human is beauty, is handsomeness, and don't be misguided. So in exactly the same way, the beauty of, let's say, the Beis Hamikdash, the home kibbiyochel of the Ribbono Shel'olam, the teretz is because they're both close to the Ribbono Shel'olam. This is the Ribbono Shel'olam's child, Bonim Matan Lashem Elokechem. This is the Ribbono Shel'olam's home, Zekeli Ve'anveihu. Make a room for myself. I can't be separate from my daughter. Make me a little room that I can be by you. The Melech says to the Chosn over there. Beauty and sanctity go together. And that is why, you know, it looks in the Cain and Hevel story, it looks like they're tainus on Hevel. Hevel was not makpid that it should be the best and the nicest. So I always felt myself that I'm talking about Cain, that Cain is being blamed. Yeah, that he didn't take from the beautiful stuff. And I always thought to myself, I'm a Cain man. Well, what's the advantage? I'm worried so much whether it is beautiful, whether it's not beautiful. And what can you, like, Cain invented the whole Yisoid of Kobonos. Not ever. Cain invented it. But he didn't chap that it has to be beautiful. Why didn't he chap that it has to be beautiful? And Taka, why does it have to be beautiful? Hakriveyo no lefechosecha. What do you want with the pechosecha? The pechosecha is a human being, and a human being has these tivers and these tivers and these tivers and these tivers, so he wants something beautiful. So Pechosero is not going to help you. He's not going to be Yisraponecho if you give him an ugly thing. But we're talking about the Bainishlam. The Bainishlam matters whether the sheep is fat or whether it's not fat. The tenets is now here in Pasha's Eker, I make the official statement that suddenly I think that I understand what's going on. The pshat is that how does sanctity look in a physical world? The way it looks in the physical world is beautiful. And that is why, the Anius Daiti, the world in which we live today, where like first of all what they consider to be beautiful, then often away. But if there is something which is beautiful and they degrade it the way they degrade it, that is the greatest me'ila in the world. That is the ra in the culture. It's a bad culture. It's a Medina Shel Chesed, and we have to really, really, really be Makir Toiva to the extent that they attack Medina Shel Chesed. But the concepts are so rotten, and there's so much ugliness in that beauty. Because, and what's the ra of that? The ra is that you're taking that which shries out Kedusha. Look at that, yeah? Why are all these photos hanging in every house by Bnei Torah? This Rosh Hashiva, that, yeah? Are they all so beautiful? Of course they're beautiful. Because there's something there. So beauty is the physical form of Kedusha. That's what it sounds like. Ze keli ve'anvehum. And so here, the Rabban Shem says, Kinderach, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokechem, you should understand that you are Mr. Humanity. That is who you are, that is what you are, and that is what you have to strive to being. So first have some self-respect. Look nice. What's nice? You didn't have an intuitive sense of what's nice. It doesn't always stem with what the Goyim think is nice. Baruch Hashem. But that's Dor steht in Pasuk. Dor steht in Pasuk. You've got to look nice. Because that is how Kedusha looks. That's this Bonim Atem Lashem Elokechem. The emes is that you see Tucker. The Maral speaks it out over here, and it's too long to read it. But that's why he sees just to mention what he says, and we can use that a little bit in trying to be machiv the concept a little bit. It says that a gedido, where you slash something, it's either you're breaking it. And breaking something is a very terrible thing. Why is breaking something very terrible? Because if you have a complete keli, it's hard to smash it, it's hard to break it. Because everything is fitting together and everything, I guess, reinforces everything else. I don't know the physics of it and the geometry of it. But somehow the entire keli helps every other part of it to be firm and to be protected keilu, but once it's broken, it's easy to break more. Lois is guided to, because once you start being guided, once you start breaking yourself, so then after that, everything can come apart. Whether that's a psychological truth, whether it's a scientific truth, I'm not quite sure what the Maral means, but understand that. And in Mele, I think that we have this yesod that a lot that goes on in the Torah as far as mitzvahs are concerned has to do with not breaking. Look in the Ramban over there in Shemois Mishpatim, yeah, by the Issa of Ribbis. Was steht dort? In Kesser Talve Samir Seoni Mach, Loisieloi Tenoische. So let's see what the Ramban says. Oh, I opened it up and now. Oh, Loisie Loi Tenoische, Hua Malve, Yoime, Schleutie Kemalve, Shehu Kemoische Leloive. Because Noische, yeah, is a Moischel, is a ruler, a creditor rules over the debtor. Kenyan Shikosov, the Eved Loive Leish Malve. The Loive is an Eved to the Malve. He owes money and he doesn't have the money now to pay. So even if he knows next week he's going to pay and the week after he's going to pay, but he feels terrible when he sees the Malve coming, he'll duck down the side street. Like he's got kindness to me. I owe him money. So the title says, I'll tell you something. Yeah? I don't want you to act towards him like a balabas. The feeling should be as though he had never borrowed anything from you. That's a strange halacha. What's wrong? I'm lending him my money, so why can't I hire it out the same as I can hire out everything else? What does the Torah want over here? The Torah says, I'm understanding the Ramban now. I've known this Ramban for many, many years, and I've always sort of the back of my mind, like Mapitam over here, suddenly I can't make an honest piece of business. If I have a car and you want to borrow it, and I said, fine, I'll rent it to you for $20 a day, whatever it is. So there's nothing wrong with that, and nobody has any tines on me. All right, so the formal thing is that when you use it, it gets a little scratched up, maybe. Mashen can over here by money, nothing gets lost. Or bottom line, was is as a schlecht? Why can't I rent him out my money? The teretz is, what the Ramban is saying is, do it as a mitzvah. Why should I do it as a mitzvah? I mean, mitzvahs are very good. I like to do mitzvahs. But I like to do business also. And if why can't I earn an honest dollar by charging him interest, reasonable interest? I'm not going to go and be usurer. But for us, the terror is, you know why? Because you're making a split in Klal Yisrael. He is the Barabbas, you are the Eved. Eved loive le'ish malve. And that the Torah does not want. Torah does not want. That's the gather. It's the breakage. You're dividing the world into Noishim and Loivim. Yeah? Those that control, those that own, those that are powerful, and those that have to blush when they meet him. And Ribbono Shel Olam says, no. Yeah? And even if that means asking Yidden to forego a apparently reasonable piece of business, Favosnish, the answer is Favosnish. I'll tell you why Favosnish. Because I don't want you to be a noshe. I want when you lend somebody money, it should not be noticeable. Not only by the rest of the world, but also between the two of you. I mean this in a very subtle way. I don't mean this at all as crassly as I'm saying it. But was steht in them? In other words, what is the Torah telling us? When the Torah tells us, don't charge interest. I think what the Torah is telling us is that it's a kind of communism. I know we're not communists, and please give me the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, but it is a kind of communism. It's ke'ilu. Why should he lend me the money? The answer is because at bottom it's his money also. Kol Yisrael chaverim, ato echad, v'shimcho echad, v'mika alfo Yisrael, goy echad ba'oretz. He's using his money, he's not using your money. It all comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and because of this and that, he got it to my soul. So he's a shomer on it until you need it. Something like that. Of course it's not in an exact kind of way. But essentially that is what's happening. Now it's this same Yisoid which the Maral said in Loisis Goy to do. Don't make the first break. Why? Because if you make the first break, other breaks are going to follow. So that is what he's saying. So the same thing is true. Look over here. Don't make a break. If you've got two yidden and one lends $100 to the other guy and there's no ribbis, and there's no nothing. So, really, you know, you were the shaman now for a while, give it to me, I'll give it back to you. Nothing changes in the relationship. But don't change your relationship. And the emes is that since we're learning Akef, I mean Le, that's mamish what we're talking about. Because later on in Le, you've got this beautiful pasha. Ah, it's Moigodik. You see, I said that what now with Loises Goydedum. So it's starting off with the definition of a yid. We've stopped now talking about how you live in Eretz Yisrael, and now we're talking about vos is a yid. So I said that we'll get several parshias now which define, beginning with Loises Goydedum, your bonim, so be noim. So a little bit later, you have what? You have Hashmotas Ksofen. Miket Sheva Shonim Ta'ase Shmita. V'ze Deva Hashmita Shomot Kolbal Mashe Yodo Asher Yashe B'Re'ehu. That every Baal Mashe is a creditor. Noshe is a creditor. So Baal Mashe is the owner of a debt. Yeah? Now, how do you read this? Do you read it? V'zedva hashmita shomot kol baal mashe yodai. Let the baal of the mashe yodai withhold himself. Or does it mean shomot kol baal mashe yodai? So, sagt Rashi, shomot es yodai shel kol baal mashe. In other words, the subject over here is the baal mashe, the creditor. And what should he withhold? He should hold his yad. He should withhold his yad. So yodai is the object. Shomait is the predicate. Baal Mashe is the subject. And yodai is the object. Every Baal Mashe should withdraw his hand. Asher yashe b're'eyo lo yigos es re'eyo ves ochiv ki korosh mitel Hashem. So it's very interesting. So what do we call the creditor over here? We call the creditor a Baal Mashe. What's wrong with Noshe? In other places in the Torah uses Noshe. Why over here Baal Mashe? The Baal Mashe should withdraw his hand. And what's withdrawing his hand? I don't know, let him not claim his five. What's it going to do with hands? The Teretz is, it's the same Yesod. It's a Moyo de Gezer. Baal Mashe, the Gatoyer especially didn't call him Noshe. Noshe means he's a creditor. Baal Mashe means he's a boss. He's a Baal Mashe. He's the owner of a debt. It's a Moyo de Gezer. I never noticed it till the last couple of years. It hit me whenever I got to Bob Metzia. And, You got the our old friends Reuben and Shimon. Yeah, Monali biyatcha. In I don't know any other language where that's what you say. Yeah, in English you say you owe me. I lent you $10. You know, you remember you owe me $10. Not I have $10 in your hands. I have $10 in your hands, under your hands. What does that mean? That is what is going on over here. That's why the Torah is able to call him a Baal Mashe. A Baal Mashe means I own your things. You think that the things which are Nebuchadnezzar, your bank, however much there is in there, right? That's yours. Znishtase. Mona li biyotcha. If there's a mona in there, or a fraction of a mona, it's mine, it's not yours. And that is yoda. Yoda means bullying. Yoda means I'm in control. I can make you. I can twist arm. And that is what the Torah is saying. If you are a Baal Mashe, that means that you're somebody who claims ownership over the other guy's property. And how? Through your yad, which imposes your will on him. Shamot. Zedva Hashmita. Shamot. If the Shmita taught you anything, we hold that. So Shmita is Meshamet. So during the Shemitah, for a year, you didn't work in your field. Did it teach you something? Yeah, it taught you that your fields belong to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If your fields belong to the Ribbono Shel Olam, your money belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he is a shutter kv'yochol in that money. So when Shemitah comes, Shomayt Yadcha. Ois Yadchev. Ois boss. Ois master. See, that is what we're really talking about over here. We're talking about this concept that the money that we have, the property that we have, the things that we own, nothing makes us into something other than the fellow who has to ask me for the tiber. One Klal Yisrael, Mi ka'amcho Yisrael goy echot bo'oretz. In kesef tiber es ami loy siyeh eloy k'noisha. A noisha is an owner. Don't be like that. And so on and so on. And that is the basic yesod of a yid. The basic yesod of a yid is look beautiful, which means be shomer your perfection. Don't ruin your perfection. Don't spoil the beauty of a wholeness. Because that beauty of a wholeness is the Torah's marshal for Kedusha in the physical world. And don't mess around with that. Just to finish, I want to share with you, I don't know why it's your fault, but I just was oimed on a certain Zach, and I have to sort of get it out of my system, so I'm telling it to you now. But I think it's a good thing to know anyway, so I won't apologize too much. Today is Monday. Also yesterday, on Sunday, when I was downing Shachris in the morning, for some reason it never occurred to me before. Many, 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 many years I've downing Shachris on Sundays. But it never occurred to me before. So we say the Shir Shel Yom, the David Mizmor, Hashem Ha'oretz HaMelayot. It's a whole big story. But at the end it says, "Nu Se'u Shorim Roshechem, והינו שאו פסחי העולם ויובו מלך הכובד. מי זה מלך הכובד? השם יזוז וגיבור, השם גיבור מלחמו, and then the pasuk goes on. We know the psukim. Chazal, probably not the pshuta של מקרא, Rav Shmuel Hirsch has a bio on the mizmor, a beautiful, beautiful bio, it's worth learning through if you have a chance. But Chazal, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed, so Gemara says that this goes on the story when David had asked the Ribbono Shel Olam, "Mecholi al Oisei Oven, be moichel me the chait of Bathsheba." So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Fine, I'm moichel." So he says, "Give me an ois." I says, "Fine, I'll give you an ois." So he says, "Give it to me during my lifetime." "No, I'm not going to give it to you in your lifetime. I'm going to give it to you during the lifetime of Shlomo HaMelech." That's the Gemara over there, and that itself has a lot of connotations, and it's interesting, but let's not try to do too much. But let's see what happened over there in the Gemara. It's the Shabbos of Lamed. So what does it say over there? Dafku Shogan Zebazev. When Shlomo HaMelech tried to bring the Ogin into the Kodesh Kodashim, the gates wouldn't open. Oma Shlomo Esrim Va'arba Renonos. Right, Rashi has a couple of pshatim. Loi Nene, nothing helped. Posach Va'omer, Se'u Shorim Roshechem, V'inosu Pisrei Oilam, V'yomo Melech HaKovod. He says, come on, you have to open up. The Rabbanish Melech HaKovod. The gates either didn't understand or pretended not to understand. Ruatu Basrei Lemivle. The gates started chasing him. They wanted to swallow him up because they thought V'yova Melech HaKovod is I Shlomo HaMelech, I'm the Melech HaKovod. That would be terrible. Yeah, so they chased him to try and kill him. Omru, they asked him, Mi Yuze Melech HaKovod? Just a moment. We should open for the Melech HaKovod. Please identify him. Whom do you think of when you're saying Melech HaKovod? Amaluhu, Hashem Yizuz V'Gibor. Chozav Oma, Si'u Shorim Roshechem. Yeah, he says, no, I mean the Ribbono Shel Olam. Oh, that's very, very, very good. So you set the gates' mind at rest, but they still didn't open. You know, sometimes we are shunning a little bit. but the gates had a cheshbon, but it's not no time now to go through this whole shtickel. But just this little piece that we learned just now. So he comes along with the organ, and the gates they won't open. So he says, please, allow me to open you in the nifat. Allow me to move. If you don't want to open yourself, at least let me open you. So they got mad. They said, what do you mean? You're the Melech HaKovet? For you we should open? He says, no, Hashem is us, we give Hashem give on the Chumam. Fine. So he thought that would open them. The fact is that it didn't, and why not is a whole big story, but that's not for now. But what is for now is, what did he say? He says, Su'u Shorim HaShechem, V'inosav Yisrael Olam Yom Melech HaKovet. So the Shorim asked him, Mise Melech HaKovet? So he said, I'll tell you who it is. It's the Rabbi Nishan. Who's the Rabbi Nishan? Hashem is Zuz V'Gibara, Hashem Gibara Melchoma. What's going on? That's the reason why they should open up to let the organ come into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Kodesh Kadoshim Nach. Because what? He's an Ish Melchoma. David HaMelech, his whole life had prepared himself to build the Beis HaMikdash. His whole life had built himself to, had practiced to, had readied himself to build the Beis HaMikdash. Nosna Navi comes along? Nope. Yeah? Domim Rabim Shafachter, you were, all your life you were a soldier, you were a warrior, and you can't be, can't build the Beis HaMikdash. The halacha is that on the Mizbeach, why? Because the Mizbeach is there to be Meirich life, and the Basel is there to be Mekatzel life, so you can't use Basel on the Mizbeach. Here Moshe Namel comes along and says, yeah, I think you should let the Oren in. Why? Because I didn't mean me, I meant the Rabbani Shalom, and the Rabbani Shalom has the right to come into the Kodesh Kadoshim. He's an Ish Melchoma. He's an Izuz V'Gibor, and he's an Ish Melchoma. What does that mean? The Ish Melchoma is the last person to come into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Kodesh Kadoshim. So how are we supposed to understand that? That Shiloh occurred to me yesterday, whenever it was. What's going on over here? So the Teretz is, I think, I don't know whether I'm right, but I think that the Teretz is, that what did the Loshen of the Ramban over there, that's the Ramban in Bamidba, in Koyrach. So what did he say over there? Here, very interesting Ramban. So it says like this: Ki im shifte Yisrael heim hoyum mis oilerim bedova. That's in the Ramban, in Perek Tes Zayin, Posuk Chof Aleph, between Chof Aleph and Chof Dalet. Ki im shifte Yisrael heim hoyum mis oilerim bedova. Veheim ha mishtadlim bevinyan, loy ho yodovit haboine. Aber Yisrael, heim ho yu haboinim. If they would have come to David HaMelech and said, David HaMelech, it's time to build a Beis HaMikdash. So then he would have acted as their shliach, and it wouldn't have mattered that he was a soldier. Aber kasher ho'am lo hishkichu, v'David hu ha-mashgiach, v'ha-mis'oire, v'hu ha-sheich in ha-koel, ho yu haboinim, v'hu ish ha-mishpat, v'ha-machzik b'midas ha-din, v'lo yuhusha le-beis ha-rachamim. And so on and so forth. So Ramban is saying, what did Nosson HaNovi mean when he said you can't build the Beis HaMikdash because you killed a lot of people in the wars? It's because you are a mishpat person, and this is a rachamim house, and a mishpat person is not the right person to build a rachamim house. So what did Shlomo HaMelech, he knew, Shlomo HaMelech knew the story, Mishlomo. So what's he saying? Yeah, you should allow the organ to come in, because the Ribbono Shlomo is a Milchama person. Hashem is Milchama. Hashem is Uzvi Gibor, Hashem Gibor Milchama. What's that supposed to mean? Is it a question? I don't know. I wish I could see your faces, those of you who are listening. I mean, are you agreeing to the question or not? I think it's a great question. No, what's the Teretz? I think that the Teretz is because that the Milchama and other things, and the Karbonos, let's say, are divided. This is Mishpat and this is Rachamim, and the Mishpat person is not Roy for a Beis Rachamim. That's by human beings. By the Ribbono Shel Olam, that was what Shlomo HaMelech was being Mechadish. Yeah? He says, you should let the Ribbono Shel Olam in. You see that Hashem is Zuz V'Gibor. Hashem Gibor Milchama. It's the Rachamim of the Ribbono Shel Olam that makes him into a Zuz V'Gibor. Hashem, yeah. Hashem is Zuz V'Gibor. Hashem Gibor Milchama. When you see the Ribbono Shel Olam as a Gibor Milchama, when you see the Ribbono Shel Olam as an Zuz V'Gibor, you're not seeing an Elokim. You're seeing a Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a pity that there's no time now to talk about it, but the way Yoshan Shvar Hirsch learns the beginning of this Mizmah, that's very much what's going on over here. Because how does the Mizmah start? Lashem ha'oretzu miloya. The Eretz Miloya belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to Hashem, Yudkei Vovkei. I, during the Bria, everything was Elokim, 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 Elokim. Tell us, the Mizmah is coming to teach us that, and that's why we say it on Sunday. You have to realize that ultimately it's Hashem, not Elokim. In other words, behind every Elokim there lurks a Hashem. I don't know whether that's the right way to say it. But whatever it is, that by the Ribbono Shel Olam, being an Ish Milchama is no Shira to being Hashem. That's what it says in the Shira. Hashem Ish Milchama. So that's the story. So the Shlomo HaMelech said to the Yidden, you should know it's all Rachamim, it's all Rachamim, it's all Rachamim. And that is why within Klal Yisrael, right, there must never be a pirut, like we saw just now in the various examples which we gave. Because by human beings, when there's a pirut, when there's a competition, when there's a fight, so that becomes a mishpat, and then you disqualify yourself from being a part of the Beis Rachem. But Shlomo HaMelech was saying to the gates, but by the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no reason to stop him. You know, it's Hashem who is the Ish Milchama. It's the Hashem who is the Isus V'Gibor, Hashem Gibor Milchama. And the Mele, since nothing about the Ribbono Shel Olam is in any way a non-Rachamim Dikah kind of thing, let the Ribbono Shel Olam in. He's the Keil HaRachamim. And that is why so many mitzvahs in the Torah is the idea of not being making the pirut, not having a machloikas, not having him on this side and him on this side, not having him be the master and him be the slave. It's the yichud. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael, goy echad ba'aretz.